Welcome to Shoepak Sports. You're with our live stream, and this is for T-ball skills and drills for T-ball coaches and parents. If you're involved in any youth sports, you will get something out of this. If you're a parent of a T-ball player or anyone else in youth sports, you'll get something out of this. We're going to be joined by the live stream in just a second. And we're going to start right in. We're going to go over some numerous drills, okay? A variety of T-ball drills, and I'm going to supplement that with some tips and hints I'm going to take from my 30 years of coaching. If you like it, or please subscribe to Shoepak Sports. We have over 50,000 video clips coming, and I actually want to grow this YouTube channel as your kids get older. We're going to have anything from T-ball up to that college scholarship, but let's get started. For T-ball, let me go through the first drill. The first drill is a simple drill. I just call it hit the color tape or hit the tape. Okay, if you take a look at it, or it's called the T-ball target tape drill. And the goal is really just, it's very simple. And all I'm doing is taking like three different colors. And if you look behind me and I'm pointing, you'll see a tee. It happens to be there. I'm not using props for this particular live stream, but you'll see red, yellow, and blue. And what I do is I have the player. It's only a 2-minute drill. They take a plastic bat. I like to use a plastic bat just because. Sometimes I've done this drill. I've wrapped tape around a tree. And if you use a regular bat, they get, some backlash and they get a little sting. And I just have them just follow instructions, hit the color tape as I yell it out. Okay. And you could also use other things than a bat. You could use what they call a noodle. You see the different colored noodles when people use for swimming. All right, the next drill I do, if a lot of you parents and prospective coaches are like I was, overzealous, and you can't wait to get your son or daughter on the field, you might want to consider this easy drill. It's the bubble hitting drill. It's like an introduction into hitting. I use a big red plastic bat and I use bubbles. And what I do is I'll blow the bubbles. As you see, and as I'm blowing it, I'm backing up. I don't want to get hit by the plastic bat. And I just tell the player or my son and daughter, and I've done this with my son and daughter, just to hit the bubbles. Okay, so you want to blow bubbles, move back quickly. And just remember, in a drill like this, there are no style points. Don't worry about technique when the kids are very young. Don't be overly concerned about that. And keep in mind, you could use an old tennis racket when you do something like this. You could use even like a kitchen spatula, just have them hit it, an old one too. And remember, stay low as you move back, parents. Okay, so that's another drill. Just similar to that drill is this drill. It's and I've done this on the field. I've blown up balloons and I've had my players hit the balloons too. And what's interesting, if you blow the balloons up to different sizes, they'll float down as you drop them at different speeds. So it's a very, very good drill. And you can see how many times a player could hit the balloons. So that's another drill. Another basic drill that I've done. And keep in mind, before I get into this drill, I just want to talk couple of minutes. One of the hardest things to do in T-ball is to hit the round sphere the size of a ball off a tee. And keep in mind, and I've said this many times before, if you follow some of my video clips, that two things in particular will drive kids away from T-ball and sports, youth sports. The first thing is injury. The second thing is embarrassment amongst the peers. Now, I always use the sentence, if you overcome these, the kids will blossom or have a chance to blossom. So keep that in mind. Also, I want to point out too, there's an overused phrase that is used a lot in youth sports, and I happen to overuse it myself. And the phrase is putting young players in a position to succeed. Keep in mind that could be different, especially at the T-ball age, for each individual. Putting a player in a position to succeed might be trying to get him to go on the field alone without his mother or father. It might have nothing to do with sports. A lot of the kids are very attached, so just keep that in mind. So what I did here is I take an old, or actually a new bathroom plunger, and I stick it in the neck of the batting tee. And then I put a beach ball or another large size ball in it, and I have the players hit the ball off the tee. And you could work down to a smaller ball and then work down to a regular size ball. Keep in mind, kids will progress at different stages or different speeds. And while I'm talking about that, I just want to mention too that, as far as growth patterns, a young child from birth to 5 years old, you have rapid growth. From like six to adolescence, it slows down. And then from adolescence to adulthood, it speeds up again. The period in between from six to adolescence, when it slows down, you actually have a chance to teach kids motor skills. It's a great opportunity. Okay, keep that in mind. This is a I find this drill to be excellent. And what I'm doing is, in sports, in baseball and softball in particular, they always say the old adage, keep your eye on the ball constantly, either hitting or fielding. Here's a drill where, and I mentioned how hard it is for some kids to hit the ball off the tee. If you look close here, we put on an animal stick, if you could see it, and I'll hold it close. It's an animal sticker of an elephant. Okay. What it's doing is we're simplifying a focal point for T-ball players to swing at. You could use animal stickers or fruit stickers. I happen to think animal stickers have worked the best for me. All right. So use the animal stickers on the ball, and I don't think you need permission from your league. You have my permission. All you want to do is harbor success. And that's one technique to do it. Another drill, and I've done this, you don't have to do this. I call this the tissue hit. I've gone out and I've grabbed or bought one of these grabbers, and if I've held like newspapers, rags or tissues, I dropped it, and the player, and I try to give him not a bat like this, a big red bat, just because I want him to succeed. And I drop the newspaper or the tissue. Okay, tissues are very thin. Keep in mind, and I use the term a lot, you want to use non-threatening items. If the players know that the item is non-threatening and they're not going to get hurt, they'll tend to relax a lot more, and they'll focus on the skill itself rather than trying to protect their body, thinking that they might get hurt. So if you like throw a ball, they might go like this, cover up. But if it's a newspaper, they know it's not going to hurt them. And what I do is I roll it up and I let them feel it before I either play catch with them or I toss it as a ball where they have to hit it. Now, in this day and age, we're having less and less newspapers, so you could roll up a plastic bag also. So those are the hitting drills. Again, start small, build the kids up, and one thing I want to mention also, another thing is I'm a believer, and I didn't do this in my first few years of coaching. Try to run a parents' meeting before you even take the field. I know it's hard to do. It's hard to get all the parents together. But it's a great idea. And if you're going to continue to coach in youth sports, I promise you this, a well-run parents meeting will cut down like 50% of any complaints you may have. Nothing will cut them all out, but a parents meeting, 15, 20 minutes parents meeting will cut out a lot of complaints. And here's an idea for you also. I started doing this my last 10 years of coaching. We're at the parents' meeting. I would ask for a volunteer to write a team newsletter. Okay, at the T-ball level, I would ask them to do it 3 times a year. By the way, you're going to get multiple volunteers to do it. So if it's, let's say it's a 12-game season, we're going to publish 3 newsletters, one after the fourth game, one after the eighth game, and one season-ending newsletter. And all you want to do is put on like 1 page, 8.5 by 14. It has to be a hard copy. It cannot be an email newsletter. And you want to hand it out to the parents when it's done. I suggest if you have like 12 kids on your team, you might want to print like 30 or 40. And I'll tell you why. Some of these newsletters, they're going to ask for extra. They're going to end up down in Florida or out in Arizona where the grandparents are. And the grandparents love to show these things off. I promise you that. I've gotten feedback. They will bring it down to wherever they are in a condominium, retired community, and they'll bring it to the clubhouse and they'll go to each person one by one, showing their grandson or granddaughter's name. So make sure you do that and bring it up at the parents' meeting. It's a good idea. And the only requirement is every name you tell the parent has to be mentioned in the newsletter, and you, the coach, have got to review the final copy. You don't want the newsletter going out and mentioning 11 names and keeping one name off. Another thing you want to go over at the parents' meeting, two of the biggest coaching moves I made was having parents be required to show me the latest eye test and hearing test. When I say two of the biggest coaching moves, I had two players. One was 14 and one was 15, that I saw something was wrong. So I had them take an eye test and it changed their career. One of the players became like a high school all-star pitcher. The other player became a power hitting first baseman. And with the power hitting first baseman, what I noticed was at night games, he would make errors at first base on the easiest throws. And I guess, I think you call it astigmatism for night. At night, and they got him special classes. He was a different player. And I kind of learned this years ago. I'm a big follower of the NFL. I remember Vince Lombardi, the historic coach, when he coached his last season with the Washington Redskins. And I've told the story before. At that time, unlike today, they didn't allow a lot of speakers in the helmets. They had a player, Larry Brown, a running back, and Vince Lombardi was going over and over game film or practice film, and he just saw he wasn't getting off of the ball or the snap count that quick. So he decided to give him an ear test, and he did, and they got special permission. They put like these headphones within the helmet, and Larry Brown ended up becoming an excellent running back. And he led the league in rushing, I believe, twice. So have a parents' meeting, go over a few things. Don't drag it out too long. 15 or 20 minutes is all you need. And make sure at the parents' meeting you ask for volunteers. Okay, next drill. This is something you could do in your driveway if you have the room, whatever. And I call it the one bounce, two bounce drill. And what I'm doing is, when I throw the ball against the wall, I'm going to yell out like one, or yell out two or three. And the player has to stop the ball. Now, this picture is showing a player with a glove. Don't worry about a glove. Just tell the player or your son or daughter, you have to keep it in front of you or brush it off the side of the driveway or wherever you're doing it at the schoolyard. And it's a tough drill for young t-ballers, but I would try it. You're combining motor skills, listening, and a thought process. And I like to use what I call the rubber ball. I guess we called it a Spalding. And again, you could do it at school or your driveway. And You're teaching an excellent concept. You're teaching the concept of stopping the ball and keeping it in front of you, which is almost as good as catching it cleanly. Because when they get older, if they stay in baseball and softball, they'll learn that you can make plays and you don't have to necessarily catch it. I run a drill called the third base drill, where my whole team goes through repetitions at third base. And on the last repetition for each player, I yell out bobble drill. And what that does is they have to pick up the ball and drop it, then pick it up barehanded and make the throw to first base. I'm trying to condition my players that you could still make a play even though you don't catch it cleanly. Okay, next drill. Next drill I do is called the, I actually call it the goalie drill. And similar to what I mentioned about keeping the ball in front of you, I put a player between two cones, okay, and I have a coach and I have a player backing up with a bucket of balls. He'll throw balls to one side, then the other. And the player has to move laterally, side to side, like a hockey goalie, trying to stop the ball. He doesn't have to catch it, he could brush it away. Again, we're teaching players to move their feet, which is very important. When the players get older, what I found was a lot of times, especially after their parents bought a expensive glove, they tend to stick out their arm more than moving their feet. And they're figuring that the expensive glove will do the job and they don't have to move their feet. Now, life doesn't work like that. You could give anyone the best scalpel in the world, that doesn't make him a good surgeon. You want to teach players to move their feet. The goalie drill is doing it. And again, they don't have to catch the ball, they have to keep it in front of them. I want to also talk about throwing. Okay, I want to show a drill. We're getting towards the end. This is Shoe Pack Sports. You're watching a live stream, hopefully. The live stream is going through, and I'm going to also put it on the Shoe Pack Sports YouTube channel. Please subscribe and please share it with your league, your teammates, and your neighbors. And, I'm trying to build up something where everyone would become better athletes and more important, better citizens. I tried this drill, and what I did is we would practice at the schoolyard, and I found that a lot of kids. When I teach throwing, and you'll see it, they don't bring their arm all the way back. And a lot of times I'll tell them to bring the arm back and I'll show them what to do. And even they'll try to do it and they think the arm's going back, but it's not. So what I did was I took a freestanding bench, don't go out and buy it, okay? And I stood at the end of the bench. Gave the player like a tennis ball, whatever, and told them to throw it to me at the end of the bench. And his arm goes down. And what's happening is gravity is bringing his arm down. And for some kids, for the first time, they're feeling their arm going back. Okay. I've also, don't go out and buy a bench. Remember, a lot of times you can find something at the school. I've done this on bleachers, on the front row of a bleacher. Okay. And the gravity, again, will help force his arm down and it'll have muscle memory and it'll teach them to bring their arm back. All right. One thing when I mentioned, I've mentioned it a lot too. When you're teaching a skill in T-ball, try to separate skills early on. What I mean by that is you're teaching throwing, don't have them catch the ball. And if you're teaching them to catch, don't have them throw the ball. So, in other words, if you have a throwing drill, have a bucket of balls that they'll pick up a ball, they'll throw it, they don't have to be ready to catch it, and then they'll go down and pick up another ball. Same thing with catching. You'll throw a ball, they'll catch it. And they'll roll it to the side. Now, and then you go to the next one. Now, this might encompass a lot of balls. And I tell coaches and parents, don't spend money you don't have. But if you do have money, spend it on extra baseballs and tee balls, extra soft covered balls. I was one that I made sure I left the field with at least the same number of balls I arrived with. And also, many times I combed the field and I found extra balls. Okay. All right. And the other thing is, let me do this drill, and then we'll get to a couple of advanced drills. One's a fun drill. Okay. This is the circle drill. You could try it with T-ball as I have. Okay. And you form a circle, and they have to throw ground balls. And the rule is they could throw to anyone but the person next to them. And what you do is you count how many grounders are caught cleanly. Again, you want to use soft covered balls, and the coach will throw the first ball. All right. And T-ball, you might want to put in the rule. You don't have to catch it, you just have to stop it. What I recommend early on in the season is don't have them wear gloves. Have them do it barehanded. This helps them keep their eye on the ball. And if they have to move a step to the side, again, they're not going to reach. The benefit for this drill is that players will learn to keep their head down, and also they learn to follow instructions. When they get older, keep in mind, oh, by the way, when you have one circle, after a little bit, try doing it with two balls. Now, T-ball players might have a hard time, but the kids get older, try two balls. Now, also, when they get older, you could set up as a competition. You could have two smaller circles, one assistant coach at each circle, and you start, you see which circle has the most catches. All right, so that's the circle drill. That's a great drill, by the way. I want to mention too that you're going to have, in T-ball, I've seen it go anywhere from four, five, six, or seven. All right. There's a big variety as far as the level of skill. Keep in mind that the gifted athletes will excel at another kid's expense. At the T-ball level, you have to give kids a chance. We want to encourage all players. We want them all to experience success. Now, I'm not one of these coaches that is a big believer in participation trophies. All right. In fact, I am overly competitive from kids from like 10 years old up to 18. I was thrown out of a league one year. It's another story. And I've had my moments, but I learned there's a time and a place, and it's not in T-ball to be competitive. Excuse me. Our main goal is to develop a lifetime love for baseball and softball, and you want them to come back to play the following year. Okay. All right. This is an advanced drill. And what I do is I take baseballs. I have a catcher, a pitcher, and a batter. And with the baseballs, either with a color tape or with a Sharpie, I'll put colors on two sides of the ball. And the player, when the pitcher pitches the ball, he has to track it into the catcher's glove. But while he's doing it, he's got to yell the color out as soon as he sees it. It's a great drill that forces the player to focus on the ball. All right. So I guess I call this the concentration drill. That's an advanced drill. I'm going to end this now with a fun drill. This is always a big hit. Keep in mind that a lot of kids that play baseball and softball will never have the thrill of hitting a home run. So I try to come up with a alternate solution to this. And what I did is I love ending practice on a high note. I'll work the kids pretty hard, and we're talking about not T-ball, older kids. But what I do here is between the pitcher's mound and second base, I include second base as a base. And we're talking about 10, 11, 12-year-old kids. The 10-year-old player will bat from second base, the 11-year-old player from the middle base, and the 12-year-old player from here. So the youngest players have it the shortest distance. And I will pitch tennis balls, and they swing a tennis racket like it's a baseball bat. And the kids end up hitting home runs over the fence. It's a phenomenal drill, and kids that will never hit a home run in their life, they love this drill. I mean, when I started the drill, every practice they would say, "Can we play, coach? Can we play home run derby?" So I'm going to wrap it up, and people ask me about different resources. They're behind me. I don't want to tout them, sort of hawk them, but if you just Google my name and comma baseball, you'll see a number of books will come up. Please don't buy them if you can't afford them. If you do buy them, I appreciate it. Go to your library, the reference desk, ask them to purchase it. They are self-published, so they're not going to want to do it. But if you insist, they'll do it and let your league know if you do buy it. So for Marty Shupak and Shupak Sports, let's see if I can sign this off correctly. Until next time.